Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Welcome to Dr. Joanna Ashworth. You are a research associate with the Community Engaged Research Initiative at Simon Fraser University, and you've been doing research into democracy in the classroom. Perhaps you can introduce yourself first, and then we'll talk a bit more about your research.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me. So as you say, I'm a research associate with CERI, Community Engaged Research Initiative, which is a really interesting unit within the university that looks at and partners with communities around issues of concern for those communities, brings kind of a matchmaking of researchers from the university to communities around specific issues. And I've been there for a few years working on various projects, but the reason why I landed there is because I've been working for many years on this project called Participedia.net, which is a global study of a SHRC-funded global study of innovations in participatory democracy. And so it's documenting the kinds of things that are really trying to create a more participatory, more deliberative, more actively engaged democratic system in various parts of the world in many contexts. And it's just looking at what works, why, and where. And so through that work, and through the kind of research that I have been oriented towards, which has always been community driven, I was invited to come to CERI and do some projects there. So the research on democratic teaching and learning really came out of my Participedia work. And I was invited by the VP of research at the time, who was Joy Johnson, to conduct this study, which was looking at the practice of democratic teaching and learning at Simon Fraser University. Mm-hmm. And of course, there's lots of great examples at SFU where teaching and learning is very innovative, like the Semester in Dialogue, the City Studio project, the the labs that the health labs that have been done in Surrey with Paola Ardiles. And there's so many people that are kind of well known for doing really innovative work that engages communities, that looks at issues that of their concern, which I really see as kind of the heart of democratic teaching and learning, is looking at where we can have agency and looking at where we can make a difference in terms of what's happening in a particular setting, in a particular context or policy arena. So this study really was meant to be a kind of a phenomenology of who's doing work kind of in the privacy of their classrooms, not necessarily mm-hmm. these high profile programs, but, you know, behind the doors of the classroom, what's happening? What are these instructors, whether they're full professors or sessionals, what are they doing that's innovative in terms of bringing a more democratic approach to the pedagogies that they are working with? So that was really the beginning of the study. And I worked with a number of colleagues, including Brenda Morrison, Am Johal, Paola Ardiles, Tara Mahoney, and together we kind of designed the research. And mm-hmm. We found 12 people within the university that are kind of known or who have made themselves known because of the work that they're doing, and not necessarily really well known outside of their discipline, let's say. And we spent a lot of time talking to them through these semi-structured interviews and gathered those transcripts and did a survey of SFU-wide survey, anyone that was teaching, of PhD students to full professors. We didn't get a huge response. We got 31 respondents and who completed the full survey. And so from that, we ascertained some, you know, some premises that we've been building on. So we did our research. We created a report, and then part of our commitment to the VP of research was to have a symposium. Of course, this was right mm-hmm. in the middle of COVID. So, most of our plans went sideways, but we held a symposium online, and we took some of these ideas. And one of the strong ideas that came out of the research was that the classroom should be boundless, you know, mm-hmm. that a democratic classroom is really a boundless classroom.
Yeah. The basic idea of what you're looking into and trying to discover how people are implementing it, this is the idea of democracy in teaching and learning. So what exactly does that mean for you? Yeah. Or is that something that actually came out of you learned through the study?
Well, I know we had an intention going ahead with this research that there was something going on, that people were thinking about democracy and they were thinking about their own teaching practice through a democratic lens. But we mm-hmm. wanted to know what that looked like in practice. So when we talk about democracy, of course, there are reams and reams of studies and books written about what we mean by democracy. And that can become hugely complex in and of itself. But I would say, you know, we think of democracy as an ideal system of governance. You know, it's a way of making decisions. It's a way of the people being represented through, you know, now we think about a representational democracy or electoral democracy as, you know, all the people have a vote, everyone has a say, you know, so that's the ideal. But of course, it's an unfinished project. And I would say democracy right now is a project under threat, mostly because of truth decay. You know, there's a real decay in what we consider to be the facts, you know, a consensus around basic facts of how our society is and what should be done. And there's a, you know, opinion seems to be more important than facts. There's a sort of a lack of civic discourse, you know, where people can disagree and do it civilly and respectfully. There seems to be a demonization of people who don't agree with each other. There's a, you know, polarization and sort of mistrust in our basic institutions, including the media. And I, you know, there's a lot of reasons for that. But I think the experience of democracy for many, including students, including, you know, many of us, is one of alienation, of, you know, we're not really, we'll do things all over on the side, but we're not really going to buy into the democratic system because it really isn't working for many people. You know, but of course, if we took away the vote from people, even if many people don't bother to vote, there'd be a huge outcry. But, you know, so it is about trying to find ways in which people can participate in decisions that affect their lives. And often that happens at a very local context. When we get into global issues, it feels like it's very far away from our ability to affect change. But it's really about, you know, inclusion. I mean, for me, this unfinished project of democracy really is about this ideal of having inclusion, have communities that respect each other, where there's equality of standing, freedom of expression, and freedom from oppression, you know, freedom to act and do within constraints, you know. And most recently, I ran a summer school with the Participedia team and many of us from Siri that looked at radical democracy. And right. by radical, we mean like a deeper, more participatory democracy. And of course, if you think about what democracy means in the Greek, it's demos and katos. And demos is the people, and katos is really about power.
Right.
Power, it's either power to create or power to disrupt. And right. so, you know, in some cases, we need to negotiate power, we need to share power, and we need to fight power. And so I think that kind of more radical definition of democracy is really useful. It's within a constraint of democracy. It's not saying we're all going to become anarchists. It's saying within a democratic, you know, set of norms and values and institutions, there's things we can do
right.
to improve the lives of many and not be governed, you know, the tyranny of the few. So how that translates in the classroom is really interesting, and it's quite different depending on who you are and what you're teaching.
So what did you find from talking to these educators?
Oh, so many things. You know, so through the interviews and through the survey and just, you know, having follow-up conversations in the symposium, I think we learned that teachers will define democracy in different ways, and sometimes it's not even as explicit as you would think. There's no sort of theory of democracy that's guiding, but there's a kind of implicit, you know, when you look at what people do in practice, they will say, for example, people have the right, people like students and more broadly the community have a right to a say in a meaningful sense about the decisions that affect their lives. It means that people need to have skills and knowledge to be able to engage with political systems. Democracy in education means it's people need to decide together what matters, what set the agenda, define the issues, and decide what controversies or conflicts they want to deal with and dive into, and to actually create the questions themselves. So taking some kind of ownership over the learning was a really strong theme. It's reflected, I think, in more how the instructor, the professor goes about teaching as opposed to what is the discipline that they're teaching, what is right. the knowledge that they're imparting. It's like the how are we doing this? It seems to be a really strong indicator of, you know, how democratic can this classroom be? You know, and you can kind of see it on a continuum. It's like to full sharing of power, including grading, which is a kind of a very radical way of thinking about evaluation and, you know, who gets to decide on the grades. And of course, traditionally, it is the instructor that makes the grades, but there are degrees of power sharing where students evaluate each other's work, where they have a much more of a say in, you know, the kinds of things they want to do that would show that they're learning and demonstrate to the instructors and to each other. In our democracy summer school, which was a credit program, we had an ungrading system, which is, you know, there's a whole movement around ungrading, which is there's no grade, but there's a pass or fail. And then the students themselves decide on what the criteria will be. You know, what is a pass? You know, what does it mean to do the work? And it really, the focus is more on the learning than on the evaluation. So understanding, you know, for example, helping student understand what what possibilities they might have in terms of creating the curriculum, deciding what the projects, the study projects would be, or how and how they want to work together. So, you know, degrees of freedom and power to make decisions are, I think, is really one of the big drivers. But of course, you know, there are classrooms where the actual content of the classroom is around democracy.
Right.
Whether you're in criminology, political science is an obvious one, history. So looking at political systems and being able to understand those systems, but also doing it in a way that is deliberative, that is participatory, that has an emphasis on dialogue versus sort of a unidirectional downloading of knowledge from professor to student. It's much more conversational. One of the faculty that I've spent some time with in the symposium and in the summer school, Genevieve Fuji Johnson, teaches political science. Mm-hmm. And her view of teaching in it with a democratic lens is really to give less readings to fewer readings to students, give them more opportunity to engage with the material and to talk with each other about what that material means to them in their own lives. You know, and assuming that it's material that relates to bigger issues, whether it's right. colonization or, you know, political systems or, you know, decision-making and policy-making.
Right. So what might that look like in the classroom?
There's a lot of really interesting things that people are doing. You know, they're just rearranging the furniture. You probably know in most of the classrooms, the furniture is fixed and it's lined up in a very kind of medieval fashion that, you know, works in a lot of cases where there's, you know, there are big classrooms and class size can be, you know, one of the big impediments to fully engaging in it with democratic pedagogies. But, you know, moving the classroom around either into smaller groups or into one large circle, which kind of in itself demonstrates that, you know, we're doing things a bit differently here. Field trips, you know, getting out of the classroom, meeting people in their communities, talking to people about the issues that are affecting them, you know, obviously relevant to the content of the course. One professor in the School of Communication has a course on social issues. The students define the projects, they research the projects themselves, they always involve a community partner. They have a public forum that presents their research findings with the partner, and they self-evaluate. You know, so those are pretty. I would say they're simple because they take a lot of thought and they take a lot of work in terms of developing relationships outside of the classroom. But those kinds of courses are extremely valued by students in terms of just learning that what they do has consequence. What they're learning and how they're learning actually matters, you know, and it's making a difference in not only in their lives, but because they're learning and changing and becoming more critically aware, but they're actually supporting and helping a community organization with that they've identified. So that's one way. I mean, I think sometimes it is really simple in terms of just asking students, what do you want to focus on? You know, giving them a little bit more control over the material, that kind of thing.
How significant do you think that is in student satisfaction? Because I don't think anybody really likes just getting a lecture.
I mean, I think, of course, not all students are the same. And their ability to live with ambiguity and the chaos that is often part of taking a bit more control in what's going to, you know, how you're going to design and run a course. You know, we all know if you've taught that, you know, designing a course is a lot of work. So I think there's, you know, some students are really, really enjoy that. And they appreciate the opportunity to be uncomfortable and to actually contribute their ideas. And other students would prefer that you just lay it on them. And that, I think that's understandable. And I think we have to respect that and try to find a way where people are going to feel the right amount of discomfort, you know, that it's actually going to be good for their learning and not completely, you know, create so much stress that they can't learn at all.
Right.
So I'm not sure if that answers your question, but some of the things that people have said is that, you know, by being able to take control, they recognize that they actually do have more agency than they recognize. Working collaboratively, I think, are, you know, those are the kinds of skills that you need outside of the classroom, and that they're not always easy. Being able to talk about issues that are challenging, that are deeply personal sometimes, you know, particularly we're thinking about what's happening in the Middle East. There's some really tough conversations that are maybe being avoided in classrooms because either the professor doesn't feel adequately skilled enough to manage those conversations, so they just get shut down, or students are, you know, feeling like they have to defend their points of view in a way that they're not comfortable doing. So, you know, trying to find that, you know, in the tension of, you know, the classroom as a free space of exploration and critical thinking, and where anything is possible to be discussed, and that often sometimes, you know, classrooms can be a space of oppression and lack of inclusion, where people feel, particularly BIPOC students or Indigenous students, may feel like their points of view will not be respected, or that they feel like they have to represent their particular community, and they're not comfortable doing that. And why should they be? So those kinds of tensions mean that the instructors need to be skilled and to be comfortable in actually befriending conflict, you know, and not shutting it down. But there's a skill, I think, involved in, you know, in dealing with controversy and issues of conflict.
Well, student, you know, I mean, I think any student over the course of their, you know, doing their undergrad or graduate studies has sort of encountered that situation where they're not sure whether they should be challenging the professor or they should just be repeating back to what they know the professor wants to hear. So how did some of the people you talked to for this study, you know, how did they challenge that? Because it's probably often not easy for a professor to see that from their side of it.
That's a really good question. And I think one, I remember one of the interviews, what the professor said was, I'm very transparent with my thought process. I share with the students what it takes to, you know, bring a speaker in, you know, how I've negotiated that. You know, I just don't, you know, present the speaker and say, you know, as if it doesn't take work. So he's very transparent about how he has designed or come to decisions. And he's also really transparent about how he expects students to share their thinking. What is their critique of the program? What is their critique of his work? And he kind of sets a kind of an ambiance in which that's okay. And I think, you know, where I see a lot of faculty doing great work is that they kind of set the conditions for their classroom by helping students co-create what are the rules of engagement in this classroom. You know, it's very rare, and I taught classes in dialogue for many years, and the first thing that we would do, and these were fourth year communication students, is let's talk about how we're going to learn together, how we're going to do this, and, you know, what's going to make this work for you. And so they get a chance to kind of share the rules of engagement and co-create them. And then we can use them as a guide. Are we actually listening to each other? Are we allowing different points of view to surface here? Are we kind of shutting that down? Are we, you know, are more people getting airtime than others? You know, whatever they've agreed to, you know, we kind of hold each other accountable. But for many, that was like the first time that they were invited to do that, and to even invited to learn about each other and their experiences and their, you know, the things that they were bringing into the class. You know, they're fourth year students. They've got a lot of life experience, but often that's not considered. And so I think the professors that we talk to recognize that experience is important and it's part of the teaching and learning experience.
And it seems like this would be really important, particularly, well, I think for everybody, But, particularly for students who are considering continuing on to more advanced degrees, where, by the time you're at the master's and the PhD level, that kind of challenging of things is going to be very much expected of you, and probably very much a key to your success in those frames.
Yeah, so this is good. It's a good grounding. And yes, we did talk to all the faculty that we talked to. They teach both undergrad and grad, and they don't seem to differentiate. Like, that's what's really unique about them, the way in which they kind of set up their classrooms and the way that they think about the how of their teaching versus the what. They try to encourage that kind of critical, participatory, dialogic, negotiation orientation in their students, which I think are all fundamental to what we think of as a more engaged, more deliberative, participatory democracy, where power, yeah, and sometimes you do have to fight for power. And, sometimes you do, students are invited to critique the professor. That's not an easy thing to do. I mean, nobody really wants to do that in everyday life. So finding a way to do it respectfully and to actually own it, to give good reasons, not just have an opinion, but to give good reasons for your arguments, for your viewpoint. I think that is all part of it. But the other side of that is relationships and caring for the students. And I think more and more instructors are recognizing how stressed students are, and they're coming. It's very, with a lot of other challenges that are, very much part of their learning experience. And, they've got jobs, they've got, financial issues, housing issues. So caring about the students as people and as humans, and recognizing, I think, which is in sort of the true democratic sense, recognizing each other as equals, equal of, needing support and care, but also recognizing the importance of critique and argument and dialogue, all of those things, and creating that kind of space for a li for lively lively kinds of learning experiences.
So at the top, you mentioned how, in many respects, democracy seems very much under threat today. And I think we can all see that just looking around at the state of debate and politics and information sharing and journalism. How do we take these ideas and what is the intended outcome or impact of having these in the classroom and spreading that out into the world? Because I think we all understand that, the education system, both at the secondary level or post-secondary level and for elementary and at all levels, is really one of the main bulwarks of a democratic system.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you can just see in the states, in the more, the Republican states are really paying attention to education, because they recognize that, how students are educated is going to impact the kind of citizens that they become. So they're shutting down and, banning books and doing all sorts of things that we, it's shocking to see. So I think on the other side, on the flip side, obviously we know what's happening in classrooms. It does make a difference. So what we are hearing is, students are learning through the kinds of assignments that they're getting, or that they're co-creating with their other students or with their instructors, that these kinds of assignments actually are meaningful, and that they can see that they can actually change the circumstances of people's lives by doing research, by co-examining issues together. So they I think they recognize that, what they do matters. And I think more and more, I think that's the kind of education we need to be paying attention to, and that universities need to be fostering in as many ways as possible. And I think SFU does a pretty good job in some cases, but I just think, not all of the respondents to the survey, for example, thought that this was anything to do, that just should be anything that we should be thinking about. This is like, let's just stick to our discipline and let us have our autonomy. And you know, just leave things as they are. And I think we're noticing that students are just not as engaged as they could be. I think they've got a lot of distractions. They've got their phones. They've got, you know, they can do anything. They've got